My, but you are in good voice this morning. It's encouraging to stand in a congregation that sings as you do, so thank you. It is wonderful just to stand and be surrounded by these amazing displays. And I've often said it, just there's something about the smell of a church on a harvest Sunday that just takes me back to Muckamore Presbyterian, where I grew up and where harvest was a huge thing. And just that smell brings back all those memories, and there's just something about it. Being surrounded with the symbols of God's goodness and God's grace and God's faithfulness, and the beautiful artistry of all these things that have been put together. But the beauty is not just in the artistry of putting things together. The beauty is actually in the produce itself. As you look at the flowers, as you look at the fruit, as you look at the veg, as you look at the grain, there's a beauty in itself. And it may be a beauty that's just there because of the overall wonder of it, or it may be in the detail. It may be in a little petal. It may be in a grain of wheat. It may be in something small, but it's beautiful. It's the variety, the colors. It's just spectacular. And it reminds us of the faithfulness of God. And even though our weather hasn't been great recently, we still enjoy the beauty of the world around us. Still evident. The autumn colors are there in all of their brightness and their vividness. It's just beautiful. And it's good to be able to stop and to look around and enjoy it. One of the things that I enjoy on TV is just all the nature programs and the wildlife programs, and just watching the scenery, the intricacy of the natural world around us, and also just the vastness. And we're just left in awe of nature, in awe of creation. It is just beautiful. And often we're just left speechless. You look at a magnificent sunset, you look at the autumn colors, and there just aren't words that express it, so we just stand. We just stand and we enjoy it. And we're in awe. The pilgrims heading to the temple in Jerusalem would have been surrounded by the rugged beauty of that world. But as they made their way towards Jerusalem, the magnificence and splendor of the temple became more and more obvious. That was where they were headed. They're headed to the temple, and the temple in all of its glory is there. And like us, they may be speechless. Like us, they just stand with their mouths open and look at the beauty and the wonder. So this psalm is a reminder, a corrective for us, if you like. It is good to stand and to look. And so often we just walk past things that are beautiful. We never take time to appreciate the beauty, the wonder of the world around us. It's good to do that. But as these pilgrims made their way to the temple and they were astounded by the beauty of that temple, this is what they said. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So the temple is beautiful. The temple is spectacular in its architecture, in its artistry. But you know what? The earth is the Lord's. It's all of God. Just in case the pilgrims got carried away by the magnificence of the temple, just in case they got carried away by the splendor of the world around them, they remember the earth is the Lord's. And we too are reminded it all belongs to God. It would be easy for us to come in here and to look at the beauty of all these displays. It would be easy for us to get caught up in the detail and the colors and the structures of all these things. And this psalm is a wonderful corrective. Yes, these things are beautiful, but the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. How come the earth is the Lord's? Well, the psalmist simply goes on to say he made it. It's his because he created it. He founded it upon the seas. He established it upon the waters. It's his because he created it. The earth is the Lord's. It's a theme that the psalmist goes back to time and time again. Psalm 95, this wonderful psalm of praise, simply says this: the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. And then hear this: the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. The earth is the Lord's. Why? Because he made it. Because he put it together. And it's good for us to remember. Harvest is a harvest thanksgiving. We remember that the earth is the Lord's, and we give thanks to him for every way that he has provided for us. It would be easy to come in, enjoy the things of harvest, and go back out again and forget that the earth is the Lord's. There's a verse hidden in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah writes to the people of God. Now, these are God people, people who are gathering to worship. And here's what Jeremiah says: They do not say to themselves, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives us autumn and spring rain and season, who assures us of the regular weeks of harvest. They knew these things, obviously. They knew they were dependent upon God for the autumn and spring rains that their crops needed. They knew that he assured them of the regularity of their harvest. And yet they did not say to themselves, let us fear this Lord, the Lord our God. They forgot that the earth is the Lord's. It's easy to do. Paul, when he writes to the early church, says this: they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served created things. They worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. We enjoy the beauty of creation, and we need to enjoy it and appreciate it more than we do, probably. But we worship the Creator, and we give him thanks, for the earth is the Lord's. And how do we show that thankfulness? Well, part of it is in what we're doing today. Part of it, too, is in continually noticing and appreciating and giving thanks to God for the beauty of the world around us, for his provision for us day by day. Part of it is also protecting what God has given to us. Creation is not for us to exploit. Creation is for us to enjoy, and in it to see something of God's glory and God's handiwork. We're called to worship the Creator and enjoy the creation. It's a challenge to us. It is so easy to walk past these things. I remember when our girls were very small, there was a small pond in the corner of the manse garden in Strabane. And I don't know how often we walked past it, but never really saw anything in it. Until one day, I went out and Gillian was lying on her tummy with her nose almost in the pond, watching tadpoles. I hadn't even seen them. We miss out on so much. May God give us the ability to see and to appreciate and to be filled with thankfulness. In a few moments, we're going to sing that wonderful hymn, "My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness." That should be our response when we remember that the earth is the Lord's. This is the God who created, the God who put in place, the God who set in place all the things that we enjoy day by day, moment by moment. The God who sometimes seems remote. If this is the God who created all this out of absolutely nothing, if this is the God who created all this with no help, who created it on his own, then can we ever get to know him? Well, the psalmist continues: the earth is the Lord's. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Can anybody do that? And the psalmist comes back and says, yes, you can. If you have clean hands and a pure heart, you can go up the hill. You can stand in that holy place. If you have clean hands, guiltless actions, if you have a pure heart, right attitudes, pure motives, then you can go up that hill to God. You can stand in the holy place. Now, that's a tall order. I suspect if I was to announce a meeting for after church for those whose actions are guiltless, those whose motives are pure, those whose attitudes are right, I probably wouldn't be very well attended. All of us struggle with that. All of us struggle with it. It's a tall order. But the psalm here says, these are the people that will be blessed. These are the people that God will bless. The people who have a clean heart, clean hands and a pure heart. Jesus, Matthew's gospel simply says, the pure in heart, they're the ones who'll see God. And so we're left struggling, well, where does that leave me, Lord? Where does that leave me with my impure motives? With my attitudes that are not right, with my actions that are often guilty? Where does it leave me? The bar is set high. That's what the Bible means when it says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The bar is set so high that we are never going to reach that level. We're never going to get to that standard. We're never going to be in the place where we can say, you know what? I've got clean hands and a pure heart. I'm in. But Jesus is the one with clean hands and a pure heart. So when we trust in Jesus, God doesn't see our guilty actions, our impure motives. God sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he calls us to come, to ascend that hill, to stand in the holy place. Who can see and know Jesus or know God? Those who trust in Jesus. Those who trust in him. It would be easy to enjoy the beauty of creation and never worship the Creator. It would be easy to appreciate the harvest and never stop and give thanks to God. It would be easy to stay at the bottom of the hill, distant from God, looking at our unclean hands, wondering about our impure hearts. The truth is, our hearts have ancient doors which need to be lifted up, which need to be opened up to God. And we talk sometimes about opening our lives to God. When we come to that saving faith, at the time of conversion, we talk about opening up our hearts to God. But it's not just once at conversion. Continually, we need to open our hearts in worship. Continually, we need to open our hearts as we give him thanks for all that he has done for us. Continually, we need to open our hearts as we're drawn ever closer to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Continually, we need to open our hearts. Jesus simply says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. This is the promise of Jesus. The promise of Jesus. To those who open the doors of their hearts, who open their lives to his unfailing love, who experience his forgiveness, his grace, his mercy, I will come in and eat with him and him with me. The promise. And Jesus keeps the promises that he makes. May God grant us the grace to see and appreciate and enjoy all that is around us But may God also give us the grace to worship and to serve Him and to open our lives to all that He has for us. Shall we pray together? Father, forgive us.